Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast, College Style, along with Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. Thanks so much for the download here at baseballamerica.com. And if you haven't heard already, we are Twittering at Baseball America. Go to twitter.com/baseballamerica, and you can keep up with everything that we update on the website and everything that's coming up in the magazine at our Twitter page, which, you know, it's kind of odd, I think, Aaron, to Twitter about a print publication, but we have one foot firmly in the past, as well as one foot and both eyes on the future.
Where can I go to find out what Twittering is?
I believe you go to twitter.com/Shaq, okay. And Shaq will fill you in. Because nobody Twitters like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And we want to thank you again for the download. And we're going to jump right in with a little bit tighter podcast this week, because I'm not only your host, I'm also your technical director. And that's always a little scary proposition, and we've already found that out today. So without further ado, Aaron, a new number one team, it's Cal State Fullerton, and the Titans really earning it. They've played a strong schedule. They have one stub of their toe, one tie loss of moment, where they stubbed their toe, losing an opening season series to TCU. And since then, Fullerton really has been unstoppable, and they're number one. And it's not just because Texas got swept. It's not because North Carolina lost series. And those things, obviously, none of these things happen in a vacuum, but what Cal State Fullerton since that first weekend has really been as good or not. I think they've been better than anybody else since that first weekend.
You know, some weeks, John, we have a number one that I'm frankly not all that comfortable with.
Yeah, then you're not excited about. Sure.
They're number one because that's the way the rankings worked out that week. You know, the teams in front of them lost, they won. Okay, here's your number one. This team, Fullerton, is a true number one.
Yeah, they are.
They were number, what, five in the preseason?
Right.
I thought they were... They're unquestionably one of the five best teams in the preseason. There was, for me, a separation right after them. They were in that top group for me.
I think I remember talking about how I thought there was a top four.
Yeah.
And then a little separation, but that has proved inaccurate. Fullerton clearly in that same group. I think it was a starting pitching that I was had reservations about with Fullerton, and that's kind of silly considering Dave Serrano's a really good pitching coach. But they've had no reservations, it seems like, with their young pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Pill has been outstanding. Right away. I mean, this was a guy who came in with a lot of expectations. His polish, you know, was his biggest asset. And he's shown the ability to throw three pitches for strikes. And Noe Ramirez, the same thing. The left-hander they were really excited about in the fall, getting a lot out of him, too. So even with Michael Morrison maybe being a little bit of a disappointment so far, not emerging as that power arm weekend rotation guy like we right. thought he might.
Or Daniel Rankin hasn't quite kind of taken that next step. He's still
been
good.
Solid. He's been right. very he's been solid, good. But he has not been spectacular.
Kind of thought he'd be the next great Fullerton ace, and he hasn't quite done that. Obviously, he's a sophomore. He's got plenty of time to do that. But I also love the note you have in Top 25 Tracker this weekend about the three guys who played for Rob Walton last summer and how physical and how effective they were this weekend offensively. And this Titans team is not a pitching defense scrappy West Coast. It is... But it's also a team that can really score with anybody in college baseball,
right,
it seems.
Yeah. And thanks to Mike Greenlee for that excellent note in his notes package this week. But
slider of love coming through.
But I'll tell you, yeah, I mean, it's the offense is the thing that really excites me about this team, even more than the pitching. Their pitching has been very good.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's gotta be to be 16-3 against perhaps the nation's toughest schedule. But we love their offense coming into the year. We thought it might be one of the best offenses in the country, even without having a ton of home run power.
Right.
They're just relentless, and they're going to wear out the gaps, and they're going to do all the things that the Titans do every year. And they have not had a break in their schedule, John, and they're the hottest team in the country, and they've got the most impressive resume. So I'm glad we've got them number one.
Yeah, they're number one you can feel good about. Cal State Fullerton. Sounds like a commercial for something. But it's the Baseball America podcast, and Aaron, LSU checking in at number two this week. I think LSU at number two and North Carolina at number five, we can kind of link together in a way here because LSU's been number one previously, and they've responded quite nicely, it would appear, to their Illinois, I don't know if you want to call it debacle, but losing 2 out of 3 at home to Illinois is kind of, that's borderline debacle for me.
That's a debacle.
That's a debacle. It's just fun to say. But now they've responded with back-to-back series wins in conference, and this one going on the road at South Carolina. South Carolina does not protect its house, and neither does North Carolina, which loses at home to Duke. You were in Columbia. You'll have a lot on this on three strikes. Not sure if you want to talk a little bit about that, but LSU, offensively, it seems like, boy, if your pitcher does not have his A game, you better look out because they're going to put up some double-figure numbers on you. Their offense is clearly the most explosive in college baseball.
That is accurate, I think. And you know, Friday, after the game, they got shut down by Sam Dyson, and Palmieri was kind of lamenting his offensive struggles, saying, I don't know what's going on here, and I've seen these guys hit for 2 years. Well, a lot of it, I think, had to do with the fact that they saw four great pitchers in four games in conference play. I mean, if you look at the three guys at Kentucky, and then Dyson, as soon as there was a little break there, those two freshman left-handers for South Carolina, who don't throw nearly as hard, the Tigers pounced on those guys the second time through the lineup. So I think they got those bats going. Their pitching was pretty solid this weekend. Renato was very good. Coleman was very good again. Austin Ross finally gave him a nice start there on Sunday. I think they've maybe found an answer in the bullpen with Matty Ott, which maybe could allow them to keep Coleman in the rotation. So
that would be a big development for them, no doubt, because Coleman's a nice X factor for them. But, boy, you'd love to be able to settle on one role for him going into conference play or going deeper into conference play. And meanwhile, you know, South Carolina, again, we talked about, they lost a series at Mississippi State last weekend. They lost a series at home this weekend to LSU. No matter who you play, at some point in conference, you got to start stringing some winning series together to be a regional team, no matter how strong your league is. It's going to be hard for South Carolina or any team in the SEC to get into regionals at 13-7 in the league or something like that. And South Carolina, to avoid that bubble, to get on the right side of the bubble, they're going to have to start winning series in conference here. And do you think they can do it?
I think they'll win some series in conference, but
enough to be a regional team. We had them just out in the start of the season.
For me, I mean, I think they're going to be on the bubble. I think that talent-wise, they're just not where they were. You know, I think they've got a true ace on the mound in Sam Dyson, which they haven't had before, but the rest of the staff is pretty shaky. And offensively, they look pretty good. They actually have more home runs right now than they had at this point last year.
Which is just stunning, considering what they lost.
And I think they've got some guys who can execute. I think that they're able to beat you in more different ways because they're going to play some small ball. I saw them execute a number of bunts and things like that this weekend.
Ray Tanner's really an outstanding offensive coach. Not that he can't coach pitching either, but he's an outstanding offensive manager. And you expect this team to score. I'm just stunned they have more home runs than they had last year.
But the problem is that everyone else in the SEC is pretty good, too. And I think that, you know, I think South Carolina and Vanderbilt might be scrapping for that last regional spot out of the SEC.
And, I mean, we haven't even talked about Georgia on the podcast. 19-2 this year, sweeping Mississippi State this weekend, which is kind of what you have to do. Georgia's got that great mix of freshman talent and some senior and junior experience. A lot of guys who went to Omaha last year who are back. So it's like Rich Poitras is having a fantastic season for them. They're a team without a significant weakness, it would appear, at Georgia. You know, I guess elsewhere in the SEC, really in our rankings, who's the next SEC team in our rankings?
Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Arkansas.
And Arkansas, we didn't mention this previously, but Arkansas 6-0 in the conference. And to me, Arkansas really, Aaron, has done a couple things very well. They've mined junior college ranks very well. And they also have gotten some impact freshmen and sophomores the last couple of years. And this is a team with a really good mix as well, similar to Georgia, of good young talent or new to the SEC talent. And then they've got some older players as well. The Cisternas behind the plate.
Ben Chepikow.
Chepikow's a fifth-year senior. Levitt at the top of the lineup. They've got some veterans. And sometimes they're just stacking up a 22, 23-year-old against a 19-year-old and winning that man against boy matchup.
That's a good way to put it. I think that their team is just a really solid all-around club. They're not going to blow you away with their pitching. I think they've got a lot of power offensively.
Starting pitching seems like that's the big question mark.
That is the question mark going forward. I think it might be good enough. I don't think it's going to. Is that an Omaha staff? I don't know that it is. But. They're off to a great start, and we liked them going into the year, and I continue to like them after sweeping two SEC series.
Let's touch really quickly on the Atlantic Coast Conference. I mentioned North Carolina, they lose this home series to Duke. And then we should touch on Duke a little bit here, where you've got Nate Freiman with 6 home runs. You've got a team that, a program that hasn't gotten an at-large bid since, I think, 1962, or an AN tournament bid, any NCAA tournament bid. We picked them to get in this year. It went out on that limb and had Duke in your field of 64, and so far they're 5-4 in the league with a home series win against Virginia Tech, home series competitive 1-2 showing at Miami, and a road series win at North Carolina. I think I screwed that up on Miami. They went on the road and went 1-2. But I mean, Duke right now is positioning itself to be a regional team, Aaron. They've gotten two very tough series out of the way in the ACC. They're 3-3 against North Carolina and Miami.
Both on the road.
Yeah, both on the road. Not many teams can do that. How does Duke, I guess, take what it's built on now and finish out and get to regionals? What do you think, Mike? What's got them in this position?
Well, the key thing is last year, that we've talked about in the past, they've been able to steal games on Saturdays against some of these elite teams, but they have not been able to win any series. This is really the first time they've won a series against an elite team.
And their first series winning is North Carolina since 2001, I believe. And that was the 1 year, I believe, under Mike Fox, that North Carolina didn't go to regionals, 2001. That's the only year. I think that was their down year. Duke in the past has had a nice weekend guy, like Tony Bajaki, I think, was the guy of years ago.
That's right.
He was a junior and senior and was very competitive for them in league play and gave them a shot pretty much every weekend to steal a win. But boy, right now, they seem like they have a little pitching depth. They seem like defensively, it sounds like that's a real strength for them. They got some veterans back who have a lot of conference experience, guys who got beat up on as freshmen and sophomores. And it seems like they have a little bit more competitive on the mound.
Yeah, Andrew Wolcott has been outstanding for them on this guy was 4-0. He's got a less than 1.5 ERA. I mean, he's beaten some good teams. He's really good, John, and they've got guys behind him. I mean, we've talked about Alex Hassan is one of the best two way guys in the ACC.
Guy's hitting .460 right now, and he's their closer.
This is a veteran team. I think that they've got a real chance to make a regional run. But I think, like I've heard you say before, Their non-conference schedule is so weak that they really there's no margin for error in the ACC. They've got to capitalize when they get opportunities like they had last week against Miami.
Right.
On the road at Miami, really had a chance to sweep that series. They had the lead late in all three of those games. They only won one of them.
Yeah, You got to come through in those opportunities. And speaking of Miami, very briefly, but Miami goes on the road, deals Virginia its first two losses of the year.
Yeah.
A Hurricanes looking very for real. There's no doubt about that.
They're just finding ways to win, and it's I talked to a scout about them last week who said it's that Miami mystique.
Yeah,
this is not as talented a Miami team as they've had, and he doesn't even think that they're necessarily an Omaha team or he worries about them long term. But he said when they get on the field, they think they're going to win, and they do because of that. It's just. Nobody's going to beat us, and they're so well coached. They're Miami. They are what they are every year.
And then I think you have to say Florida State. Maybe Florida State's in a little bit of that same, discussion. Just 11-8, but a huge series win for Florida State this weekend. They went 2 out of 3 from Clemson.
And in the ninth inning on Sunday, it looked like they were about to lose that series
right.
at home. And what a huge swing that makes to come back with 4 runs in the ninth. Highlighted by that big 3-run walk-off by Mike McGee.
How would Florida State have looked if they lost their first 3 conference series? What position would they be in?
Exactly.
You don't get regional bids on reputation. You got to have some bona fides, and that's a huge series win, I think, for them. And Clemson seems like it's a very talented team that can't quite get over that hump.
That's it.
It's the Baseball America College Podcast. He's Aaron. I'm John. Aaron, we're going to finish the ACC point.
No, this is just kind of that. That reminds me of Texas A&M.
Yeah, we were talking earlier podcast that got deleted. We were talking a little bit about the Big 12 and how crazy deep the Big 12 has been. Texas from number one falls. Texas A&M, our preseason number one falls. There's a lot of teams in the basically in the Big 12, Aaron. It really looks like it's a pitching heavy conference as expected. And A&M and Texas are two teams that are struggling really to find some consistency offensively.
Yeah, and especially Texas. I think they're averaging about 4.5 runs a game here. That's not going to get it done. I mean, this team...
Not with metal bats.
This team offensively has been a huge disappointment, and they need Kevin Keyes to step up. For me, he's the key.
Yeah.
And the middle of the lineup, he's got to be that thumper, given that physical presence, and I think things will fall into place around him. Oklahoma is the only really good offensive team in this league.
Amazing.
I think Baylor is solid offensively. I think Oklahoma's the only great offensive team. A&M has the pieces, but they haven't fallen into place yet.
Yeah, what about the ACC was reminding you about A&M?
Well,
that kind of cuts you off
because
there.
Because Clemson, I mean, like you said, they're deep and they're talented, and they just haven't quite gotten over the hump, and I think A&M's the same way. talking to Tim Jamison this weekend in Missouri, he said, you know, these guys, I think we caught them at the right time because they're going to be a lot better than this, and you can see it.
What I respect about A&M is they didn't let themselves get swept again.
That's right.
They've lost five straight games in the week, and they did not let the Bastards get them down, as Bono once said. They rallied to finish the week with a victory on the road at a conference team that also is kind of scrapping to get its way back in. Missouri just at 500. So
against the guy Nick Tepish, who was dealing for about five or six innings, I think, on Sunday, and they found a way to get to him.
You know, the Big 12, I think we've talked about how deep the Big 12 is. We talked last week about the West, the Big West being, in our minds, the best conference in the West, the West Coast Conference, the Pac-10, both being down. The Pac-10, I think it's safe to say, being significantly down by its own standards, because this is the preeminent league in college baseball, no matter what anybody else wants to tell you. Everything in college baseball starts with the Pac-10. You want to talk about alumni, you want to talk about College World Series championships, you want to talk, what have you done for me lately, you start in the Pac-10. But the Pac-10 is really down by its standards. Conference USA being down, good for the league to see East Carolina just thump UCF and get back into the rankings. But the Big 12 is the league that seems like it's the most cycling up, I guess we'd say, Aaron. Is there a Big 12 team that's been a surprise in a good way? I guess Kansas and Kansas State are kind of the two stories there, aren't they?
That's it. There's no question. I think those two teams have really proven that they're going to be very competitive this year. And Kansas State, you know, they beat Oklahoma on Friday night. A.J. Morris has been outstanding.
That guy has been lights out this year, carrying over from what he did last year in, I believe, the West Coast Collegiate League.
Right. And then Kansas to sweep Texas. I just, you know, I know it was at home. I just didn't see that coming. It tells you how hard it is to win road series. When the only team so far in the Big 12 that has won a conference road series is Oklahoma.
Yeah, and Oklahoma probably has the most balance because, like you said, they have the best offense. They don't just have to sit there and wait for the pitching.
Yeah.
And they do have good pitching. Doyle's got all kinds of experience. I know he's been up and down, but Richards is a big-time arm.
J.R. Robinson, the left-hander.
Yeah, the transfer from New Mexico Junior College, where he played as a freshman for Ray Birmingham, when Ray Birmingham was the coach there. Talk about a segue. Ray Birmingham brings New Mexico, the University of New Mexico, into the top 25 for the first time since 1985 this weekend, Aaron. The big thing that New Mexico really hanging its hat on is sweeping two games at Texas A&M.
The rest of their resume is they've bludgeoned some teams that they should have bludgeoned.
Yes.
But going to College Station and winning two this week, to me, it's loud. I don't care if A&M's scuffling right now, if you caught him at the right time or not. It's a tough place to win, and it's a really good team.
I think the main thing is, you look at this team's hitting .410. You know, that happens sometimes in the thin air. And I think Air Force has had some teams that have hit .350 in the past, that kind of thing. What really prompted us to rank this team is faith in Ray Birmingham, the head coach at University of New Mexico. It's the fact they're 22-3, and it's the fact that they got a guy in Cole White, a reliever, who's got a big-time arm and has given up three hits in 18 innings. So there is some talent there.
They've got several power arms on that staff. I mean, that's one thing that Birmingham, I talked to him last week, said, you know, this is an area where last year, I think the quote he gave me was, we go to the bullpen and I have to get my rosary, because now when they go to the bullpen, it's a strength for them. They've got legitimate arms there. They've really stacked the cupboards in a hurry. And offensively, they've got all kinds of talent, veteran guys who are hitting.
Brian Cavazos Galvez is a guy who's played 2 years at New Mexico JC for Birmingham, and now he's come with him to University of New Mexico, and the guy does nothing but hit. He led the nation's junior college hitters 2 years ago in batting, and this year not only is he hitting .471, but he's got seven triples. You know, this guy, he's like Jose Reyes. I like triples.
And that's the thing about this team is you talk about the thin air. Well, thin air doesn't help you get 74 doubles and 32 triples.
That's right. No, they're not just punching and Judying up there. They're slugging .625.
Right. And their ballpark plays big too, Jones. So they're not going to hit a ton of
them. It's a Triple A ballpark. It's Isotopes Field, which is now that's an offensive ballpark.
It's offensive.
Go ask Matt Eddy about how offensive Albuquerque is. He's our Triple A editor, and he loves to talk about some Triple A ballpark factors. But this team is going to score runs. But if they have power arms, they have a nice senior left-hander in Bobby Moore, the older brother of, I'm not remembering his first name. Matthew Moore, left-hander who's number 6 in our Tampa Bay Rays top 10 prospects. Moriarty High represent out in New Mexico. Some of my favorite draft calls have been out there in New Mexico the last couple of years. Got to love the Four Corners area. But New Mexico, I think, a very legitimate team to bring in. But our first time in our rankings in 24 years, which is pretty impressive. Nice to have some new blood in the top 25. Aaron, we're going to wrap up the podcast for this week. But now you were in Columbia last weekend. All right, so you'll have that in three strikes. What else can people look for in three strikes on the blog at baseballamerica.com?
We'll have a Golden Spike spotlight on Kyle Gibson, who might be the hottest pitcher in the country right now outside Mr. Strasburg, 16 strikeouts for Gibson. And also we'll have a look at some of the upsets around the country.
Yeah, there were some upsets this weekend, no doubt about it. But it's hard to notice for some people this time of year, so we appreciate you with the download. And send those questions into us at podcast@baseballamerica.com. And we'll have another college podcast next week, and we'll also, J.J. Cooper and I will be back later this week as our WBC fever recedes here at Baseball America. So for Aaron Finn, I'm John Manuel. Thanks for the download. We'll talk to you next week. So long, everybody.